So these differences I'm mentioning to you, I want you to understand what is jihad and what is hajj. And what does it mean when we say that we journey to Allah? Where does it start and where does it end? But one difference that I will explain to you a little bit more is that before I started to see the differences, or ulama began to make the differences between hajj and jihad, the first one to make the decision of what is more important was Allah Himself. You see that? The first one to make that decision was Allah Himself. In the time of the Prophet, there were some companions, they got together and they were having a discussion. And they were discussing about what? Who is more powerful and who is greater? This person was saying, I am greater. That person was saying, I am greater. And they were bringing arguments also as to why he is great and why he is great. So one was saying, I am great because I feed the hajis water. I give water to the hajis. And the other group was saying, no, we are great because we build the Masjid al-Haram. We build the Kaaba. And this other group was saying that, no, we are great because we have keys to the Kaaba. I mean, imagine this. These are the tall and mighty Sahaba, our companions of the Prophet. And they are boasting amongst themselves who's greater. And this is the proof they're building. Imagine this. What kind of proof is this? They're saying, we are great because we serve water to the Hajis. The other saying, oh yeah, we are greater because we build the Kaaba. And the other one saying, I have the keys. I mean, when grown-ups act like children, what can we say? So obviously they were having this argument and they couldn't decide who's better. With a mentality like that, you can't decide anything. So what happened is that they came to the Prophet and they said, Ya Rasulullah, you tell us who's better. They said, that you tell us who's better. Is this group better or that group better or this group better? And they gave all their arguments and all their proofs. But you see that Rasulullah did not reply to them. He did not reply to them. I mean, it's amazing when you look at the character of Rasulullah. When you look at his character, if it was any lesser man, if there was any other alim like us, we'd say that, you know what, if I don't reply, they will doubt my knowledge. I must say something. If the option is A, B, and C, let me choose one thing and see which one it is. Right? But this is Rasulullah. This is the Messenger of Allah. This is the Alim of all Alims. And you see, he does not say anything until Allah sends a revelation. And hence, he did not reply. And he waited for Allah's revelation, and Allah sent Jibreel with a revelation. And I want you to see this ayat. See this ayat that Allah has sent. Here he says, Allah replies to these people and says, أَجَعَلْتُمْ سَقَايَةَ الْحَجِ وَإِمَارَةَ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ. Do you equate the feeding of hajis and the building of the Kaaba equal to those who believe and do jihad in Allah's way? Do you equate these two? La yastawuna innallah. These two can never be equal to one another. They are never equal to one another. So what is Allah saying? He is making a decision here between two things. You want to serve Masjid al-Haram. You want to hold the keys to the Kaaba. Do you think that is greatness? No, what is true greatness is if you believe in Allah and do jihad in His way. This is the true greatness. If you want greatness, if you want to achieve greatness, then this is What is great in the eyes of Allah? My brothers and sisters, Allah has made this decision 1400 years ago. And for 1400 years, He has safeguarded that decision in the Quran. And for 1400 years, Muslims have been reading the Quran. And for hundreds of years, they are reciting the Quran. On radio, on the internet, on TV, everywhere you see the Quran is being recited. And this ayat is being recited. Is it not until now understood by the Muslims that those who do jihad are greater in the eyes of Allah than those who serve the Kaaba? To understand this, isn't that clear to us that those who do jihad in Allah's way are greater than those who are going to serve the Kaaba and who boast of serving the Kaaba? Why is it even today those who serve the Kaaba are boasting to the Muslims that we are the servants of the Kaaba? Understand this. Why are they still boasting when Allah made the decision 1400 years ago? So now you tell us, if we are a mu'min, and if we believe in the Quran, and if we believe in Allah, and if Allah made a decision, then to us, who should be more honored? Who should be more esteemed? Those who are fighting in Allah's way, or those who are trying to serve the Kaaba? Allah made that decision for us, so that every year, and every time, and every generation, those who are true mu'min will be understood. If you are going to respect those people who serve the Kaaba above those people who do jihad in Allah's way, then you can never be a mu'min. If you want to be a mu'min, then you must honor those before. You must honor those who do jihad in Allah's way before those you honor those who serve the Kaaba. See what I'm saying, my brothers? This is so important. You apply this to wherever you can think of. I'm not going to say everything openly. I just give you the basis so that you can understand what is happening in the world today. If those people who do jihad in Allah's way, maybe they might be called terrorists by this government. But you see, those who do jihad are those who are esteemed by us. And if we do not hold them up like that, then we have nothing to do with the Quran.
Nara Takbir!
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
You see that? Hajj, my brothers, we see Haji we respect, but those who are doing jihad, we're looking at them and saying, who are these people? Why are you doing this? Those who do jihad, they go with what? Brothers, when you do jihad in Allah's way, this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes forward and says, فَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ. Those who leave their homes. Now imagine, where is the journey starting? Where is the journey ending? فَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ. Those who leave their homes. So where is the journey of man starting? I read the ayat for you. You know English. So where is the journey starting? From your home. The journey starts from your home. وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ. Those who leave their homes. So the beginning of the journey, understand this, the beginning of the journey is from your home. And where is the ending? مُهَاجِرًا. And they make hijrat. They migrate to who? To what place? There's no place mentioned. He says they migrate to Allah and His Messenger. Understand this. They migrate where? To Allah and His Messenger. Now my brothers, Hajj is an outward journey, jihad is an inward journey. The beginning of Hajj is physical, the ending is also physical. The beginning of jihad is spiritual, the ending is also spiritual. Now I want you to understand what journey Allah is talking about here. Allah is saying that the beginning of the journey is from your house. The ending of your journey is where? To Allah. In other words, Allah is not a place. Allah is not a place. So the ending is spiritual. The beginning is physical. What kind of journey is this? Ya Allah, what kind of journey is this? That the beginning of the journey is an apparent and outward journey. The ending is a hidden journey. See, what is Allah trying to say? Allah is saying that a physical journey is important in the eyes of Allah. Let me explain this if you send me a salawat. Understand this now, brothers. In the eyes of Allah, a physical journey is important. It's important in the eyes of Allah, but with one condition. But with one condition, that is that if you have any journey that you are taking that is apparent, that is an outward journey, the goal must be spiritual. If the goal is Allah, then your journey is counted as a journey. Then your travel is counted as useful. But if your goal is not Allah, if your goal is not Allah, then no matter what journey you take, no matter what journey you take, every journey will become useless. Every journey will be useless. That's why those who go for Hajj, those who go for Hajj, the house of Allah is in their eyes. Their eyes are on the Kaaba. But their mind is not on the Kaaba, their mind is on Allah. Understand this. Their mind is on Allah. If a Haji goes to the Kaaba with his eyes on the Kaaba and his mind also on the Kaaba, then this would not be ibadat, this would be shirk. See, understand what I'm saying. This will be idol worship. The difference between those who believe in Allah and those who are idol worshippers is that the idol worshippers, they look at the idol and they also believe in the idol. But those who believe in Tawheed, they look at the Kaaba, they make sajda to Kaaba, but the object of their sajda is not the Kaaba, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see that? That is the difference, my brothers and sisters, between those who are believing in Tawheed. Why? Because when you look at the Kaaba, you are not worshipping the Kaaba, you are worshipping Allah. This is the difference between worship and shirk. If you want to worship, Allah is saying, if you want to do anything useful, if you want to make a journey to Allah, then the journey is physical, but the goal of the journey is spiritual. The goal of the journey is spiritual. It must be spiritual. Otherwise, if it's not spiritual, if it's not Allah, then that journey will not count. And that's the reason why Allah used the word hijrat. He used the word hijrat. And understand, this month of Muharram is the beginning of the Islamic calendar. And it began with the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It began with his hijrat. Imagine this. When it began with his hijrat, let us understand the hijrat of the Prophet so we understand what does hijrat mean. You see, here we see Rasulullah left his home. His home was in Makkah. And he went where? He went to Yathrib. Yathrib means quicksand. You know, a land that is wet, wetland. It's called Yathrib. It was a piece of land that was wet. It was known as Yathrib. Now we see that this prophet, when he went to this land, when he went there, when he stepped into this town, then it changed and was known as Madina Munawwara, the enlightened city. See, the enlightened city. And we hear this way many times. How many times have we heard this? Madinatul Munawwara. We heard this so many times. Madinatul Munawwara. Have you ever try to understand, all the Muslims call it that, whether you are a follower of Ahlul Bayt or you are Sunni or even Wahhabis. They also call it Munawwara. They say Madinatul Munawwara. He said, why did it become Munawwara? Why did it become enlightened? Because the Prophet came here. And this fact, everyone understands that Rasulullah, when he stepped into Medina, it became Munawwara. It became enlightened. So in other words, everyone accepts the fact that the footsteps of Rasulullah can enlighten a place. You see that? The footsteps of Rasulullah can enlighten a place, meaning he has some light in him that he gives to others. You see that? Understand this, what am I saying? Because when you look at the Prophet, he should have gone somewhere which was known, which had many people there. He should have gone to a place which is known. But this hijrat, the first thing this hijrat is showing, of many things, this hijrat is making us understand and listen to this principle. This hijrat is making us understand that greatness does not go to a great place to become great. Understand this. Greatness does not go to a great place to become great. Greatness goes to any place and knows that he will make it great. You see that? Understand this. Rasulullah went to Medina, went to this place that wasn't known, that wasn't even on the map. He wasn't afraid what will happen to him. But he went there, and because of him, that place became great. You see that? This is the sign of greatness. See, understand this. I want all my youngsters also to understand what I'm saying. You see, when someone is great, he doesn't look for a great place in order to become great. You see that? He doesn't look for a great place in order to, you know, like become great. You know, you have, for example, a good basketball player, and you have a great basketball player. If someone is truly great, then he doesn't look for a good team to go there and win. He doesn't look for a good team to go and win. He knows that whatever team he's going to go in is going to win because of him. See, understand this. This is a sign of greatness. When you are good at something, when you are good at something, you do not look for things that are going to make you good. You know that you can help others become great. This is the reason greatness was in Rasulullah, that when he went to Yathrib, he made that place great. And this is the sign of greatness, that wherever greatness goes, that place becomes great. That place doesn't give anything to those who are great. You see this? Understand what I'm saying? A Christian who used to live in Kufa, in the time when Imam Ali alayhi salam was the ruler. When he was a ruler, a Christian, he came there and he saw that there's something going on in the masjid. There was, you know, Imam Ali was there and the whole court was there. He was interested, so he went inside to see what's going on. And he saw Imam Ali. He saw her from the front.